Kevin, thank you so much, if you're a guest, for being here and for joining us. We're glad that you're here, and welcome to Norris Ferry. Pastor Jared is out of town this weekend. He's back in his hometown, and so you can be praying for him as he spoke at a little conference up there, and so they'll be coming back from Oklahoma, I think, tonight. So you can pray for his travel time, him and Kristen. And so if you've been with us over the last few months, we've been walking through the letters of John. And this morning, I'm excited to wrap up our series with 3 John. Okay, we're going to be in 3 John this morning. And throughout these letters, John, he has been encouraging us by writing about the basics of the faith. Writing about the basics of the faith in Christ. And as Jared summarized last week, he says, John, he keeps encouraging the same themes, right? To walk in the truth, to love faithfully, and to guard the gospel carefully. And underneath those themes, underneath all of that, John has been answering one consistent question. And that question's been, what does faith in Jesus Christ truly look like? What does it look like to live out this belief and this faith in Jesus? And he doesn't just let us answer that question with words alone. Right? If you've been here with us, you know that John, he challenges us to examine our lives, to see that if we truly believe the gospel, if we truly know God, then it'll show up not just in what we say, but it'll show up in what we do. And as we come to 3 John this morning, John brings that question down to a very practical level. He brings it down to real people in real relationships in a local church, and he gives us faith on the ground. And through them, John, he shows us something very clear. He shows us that faith in Jesus Christ is about what we believe and about who we are living for, right? That the faithful will walk in truth in ways that serve others, not themselves, because they imitate Christ's love. Let me say that again. It's going to be very clear this morning that John, he shows us that faith in Jesus Christ is about what we believe and about who we are living for. That the faithful will walk in truth by serving others, not themselves, because we imitate Christ. And so this morning, as we talk, I just want to invite you throughout the sermon to consider, is the truth of Christ, is the gospel of Jesus Christ shaping your life? Is it shaping your life in a way that you live for others, that you serve others? Or are you using what you believe for yourself, for your own gain? And so let's read 3 John. We're going to read the text, we'll pray, and then we'll jump in to God's word this morning. 3 John, verse 1, and we'll be going over most of it, almost all 15 verses, all right? The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning humbled by your presence and ready to hear your word. Father, as we look at this passage, as we look at 3 John, may you reveal to us things in our lives that are not reflecting you. May you encourage us to shape our lives around you. May we be counted faithful to walk in the truth in ways that serve others because you have set that example and served us. May we not seek our own benefit, but lay our lives down for your glory, not our own. Spirit, reveal to us God's words this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's look at verses 1-4 to kick it off. And we're gonna see that the faithful walk in truth. Verses 1-4, I'm gonna read it again just to remind y'all. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And so similar to last week, we have the elder John writing a letter, but instead of writing a letter to an area or church, John is writing a letter to a specific person. And that person named is Gaius. And we can see that John has a very close friendship with him, right? He uses words like beloved, love, right? Gaius is beloved and John loves him in truth. And I like how John, he puts into words, whom I love in truth. Gaius, whom I love in truth. That this love is not established on something hollow. It's not established on something temporary. It's not just a sentiment, him saying, I love you, but there's nothing behind it, or he doesn't mean it. But he says this love that he has for him, it's built on the truth. It's built on the love of Christ, a self-giving, sacrificial love, that they have been united together because of their shared life in Christ. That's what their friendship rests on. And I can't help here to think about our community groups, our small groups that we have here at the church, or maybe even just relationships that you've made at the church outside of groups, because you gather together united for one purpose, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So think about all your relationships and think about relationships in your community groups or past community groups that you've made, whom you've grown to love. And you love them in truth. You love them because you share that relationship, you share that life in Christ. And we can sit here this morning and we can praise the Lord for those relationships. Those relationships, they're not fake. They aren't hollow, right? But they rest on the secure foundation and love of Christ. That you know if you need something, then you know these people would sacrifice for you, that they would give to you. And this is the same type of relationship that John has with Gaius. That's a relationship that he loves him in truth, that he knows that they will do anything for one another. Why? Because that's the example that Christ has given us, and they are living by it, and they are living in it. Right, they are friendships that are more than just sharing a cup of coffee together, but they're sharing life together from the joys of life to the sorrows of life. From the victories that you have in your life to the defeats. See, friendships and truth, they help you remain faithful to walk in the truth. And if you feel like you don't have those relationships, then I think the challenge for you this morning is to ask yourself, has the love of Christ, the truth of Christ, has it penetrated your soul? Has it penetrated all areas of your life, your heart, your mind, your affections, your feelings? Because in verse 2, we see John, he share that Gaius' soul, the deepest parts of who he is, it's been transformed by this truth. It's been transformed by the gospel of Jesus. And if we read over this passage quickly, then it might be easy for us to miss. Because John, in his introduction of his letter, he does a normal greeting like he even did last week. And he says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health." Right? John, he prays for Gaius's safety. He prays for his physical health. It's a normal greeting. It's just like when we call someone, "I've been praying for you. Are you healthy? I've been praying that you stay safe. I've been praying that you're in good health." It's a general greeting that we see in many letters. John, he's not promising good health, but he's just praying for him. He's praying for him to stay healthy, to continue to do what he is doing, living for God's kingdom. It's just like what we would do to pray for one of our friends to stay healthy, but right on the end of that general prayer, right on the end of that general greeting, John, he adds something. I want you to look at this. He says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." John says, "Gaius, I am praying your health may be as good as your soul is." How can John know Gaius's soul? How can he know that his soul is healthy? Well, look at verses 3 and 4. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth." John says, "Gaius, your soul is well because you have been faithful to the truth." The gospel of Jesus Christ, it has penetrated the deepest parts of your life, and you are not only transformed inwardly, but it's showing outwardly. Gaius is spiritually healthy, and his life is shaped by it, and he is living by it. See, this is where we must start, right? This is where we must begin. The question is, what is the condition of your soul? What is the condition of your soul? What if I, right now, were to pray for you and ask God to bless you physically to the same degree that you are healthy spiritually? And what if he answered that prayer? What would you look like? Would you be like Arnold, right? Would you be like as strong as the Hulk? If you were as healthy physically as you are spiritually, what would your life look like? For some of us in this room, we would need to go to the emergency room today, right now, because we would be so weak that we can't even stand. Has the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrated your heart? Is your soul spiritually healthy? See, when the truth of Christ, it shapes our souls, then it never stays contained just within us. A healthy soul will always move outward in love. The faithful, they walk in truth, and they walk in truth by serving others, and this is exactly what we see in Gaius' life. Look at verses 5 through 8. "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do. In all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." See, Gaius's spiritual health, it moved him to outward action. John says, guys, you're showing your faithfulness by serving others. You've shown hospitality to these brothers in Christ who you don't know, who are also strangers to you. And they came and they shared about your love towards them with the church. And we see Gaius walking in truth by showing love, and he's showing love to these itinerant missionaries, right? Last week, John, he said, hey, don't show hospitality to those false teachers, those false prophets who are coming into who want to come into your home because they're not teaching the truth. But here we have the opposite where John is saying, keep up that work. There's these itinerant missionaries going, and they're going to share the name of Christ. They're sharing the gospel, and Gaius is taking them in. He's showing them love, even though they're strangers. Why? Because they're sharing the good news of Jesus. They're living lives to spread the name of Jesus. And Gaius, he doesn't know them personally. They aren't people who can repay him. They're not close friends. But Gaius, he opens his life to them. As Gaius walks in truth, his faith leads him to reflect the love of Christ. So as missionaries traveled, they most likely weren't receiving money and provisions from non-believers, right? They're not like the false teachers and the false prophets who traveled in 2 John, who made their living on people gaining from anyone who would help them, telling them, tickling the people's ears and telling them what they want to hear so that they can receive. No, these missionaries were on one mission, going out with one goal, to share the love of Christ for his name's sake. They trusted in God and his people, brothers and sisters in Christ, they provided, and that's what Gaius did. From the truth of the gospel that he experienced and believed, Gaius then is moved to action to show these missionaries love. And he shared real life, real food, real finances. It wasn't convenient at times. Oftentimes it was inconvenient, but he served and he loved. Gaius, he didn't just say, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. Good luck on your journey. But he said, come in. Come into my home. Sit at my table. Let me put out this meal for you. Let me maybe roast a turkey for you. Let me invite you in to sit around the table and to eat up my food, to take of my resources, to take of my time. He offered them protection as strangers in an unknown town. And then as they were about to prepare to go out, to go to the next city, the next town for the name of Christ, he provided for them. He said, here's money, here's food, go. See, this hospitality, it was critical for missionaries to be able to share and advance the gospel. This hospitality for Gaius, it was costly and it was inconvenient at times, but he did it in love because his soul was healthy, because Christ had transformed who he was inwardly, and he was able to show that with his life outwardly. But look at what John says in verse 8. I think this is very important for us today. He says, therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. See, John, he calls Gaius a fellow worker for the truth. Even though Gaius is just a man in a town and these missionaries are coming through, even though Gaius is not the one traveling or the one preaching publicly in the town centers, John calls him a fellow worker of the gospel. See, by Gaius serving, giving, supporting, he shares in the gospel work. Because he loves them in Christ and serves them because of the love of Christ, he is now a part of their ministry. Gaius, he never stands on a stage. He's not named as the senior pastor or minister on staff. There's no records of his sermons. And yet, because he walked in truth, because of his faithfulness, the gospel keeps moving forward. Some of the most faithful people in the church are the least visible. Most of us in this room, we were not going to be called to travel the world for the gospel. But all of us, we are called to walk in truth by serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we must live our lives faithfully, supporting gospel work with the resources that God has blessed us with. And this is why the local church is so important. This is why it's so important to be connected in a local church. We serve in the youth, we serve in the kids ministry, we serve on the facilities team, we serve on the media or the worship team. We serve on first impressions and prepare coffee for you to come in to this building. And we serve all in these areas because we are all participating in God's mission. Each one of us, every member of Norris Ferry Community Church, each one of you serves in a different area. And let me tell you, you are a fellow worker for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We give to, we support the church, we give to, and we support missionaries. And together, we are fellow workers for the glory of God. We care for and love one another and serve one another as needs arise in your community group, in your godly friendships, and you meet those needs. Let me encourage you that you are fellow workers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all working together for the sake of Christ. We're all working for his name to be glorified. That's you. It's not just the people who stand up on this stage. Serving others, serving the church, it's not about checking the boxes. It's about who your life is centered on. When Christ is ruling your soul, love will flow outward. But when self rules the soul, love then turns inward. In John, he moves on and he gives us an example of that. And he shows us that unfaithfulness is revealed when self rules the soul. Let's look at that, verses 9 through 10. Unfaithfulness is revealed by living for myself. Verse 9, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to and puts them out of the church. Here we have a man named Diotrephes, who is the exact opposite of Gaius. We just saw Gaius' examples, and now we have Diotrephes, who is some type of leader in the church. But yet John, he wrote him a letter. We don't know what that letter was. Some say maybe it was 2 John, but I don't think so. I don't think we have, we don't have a recording of what this letter is, but John wrote him a letter, and somehow that letter disappears. And Diotrephes, he rejects John's authority by tearing up this letter, by not passing on the word that John had written to him. And he doesn't just stop there, but he goes on and he slanders John. He slanders the leaders of the church, and he slanders John, talking wickedness about them. And he refuses to walk in truth and love by welcoming the missionaries into his home. And then he goes, in church, if any one of you shows hospitality to these missionaries, then I will kick you out of the church. I will excommunicate you from the church. But above all those things, even though how wicked those things are, at the root of all of this, Diotrephes, he likes to put himself first. In both John's example, in Gaius and in Diotrephes, we see that the behavior gives evidence to the spiritual condition. Right? Their behavior either reinforces it, reinforces that their soul is healthy, or it calls into question what they believe. And here we have an example of someone who has opposite motives than Gaius. We have someone whose behavior is showing that he is not walking in truth, revealing what his soul cherishes. And what does his soul cherish? Himself. Diotrephes has placed himself as the ultimate authority. You see, this is someone who is not shaped by the gospel. The gospel is not shaping how he lives. Who's shaping how he lives? Self. Diotrephes, from what we know, he doesn't deny the gospel. It doesn't say that here, but he definitely misplaces it. He definitely puts it somewhere else. Why? Because he's putting himself on the throne of his soul. He is letting his pride shape what he does. And we can see all the destruction that his pride is causing, right? He rejects authority. He slanders others. He refuses hospitality. He controls others. He ruins relationships. And he damages the church. See, when our self is at the center, when pride is ruling our souls, there's no work going on together. There's no work going on together for the advancement of the gospel. But what's happening? When we want to rule, then there's a tearing down of the gospel. There's a tearing down of relationships. There's a tearing down of the church. See, when we put ourselves at the center, relationships will suffer. And maybe not even suffer. Maybe they'll be destroyed. The church can be torn apart, and the gospel work God calls us to, it's impacted. It's affected. Somewhere along the way, Christ stopped being at the center in Diotrephes' life. And self, it quietly snuck in and quietly took control. It sat on the throne. So how do we tell if we've placed self on the throne of our soul? Well, let me ask you about your behavior. How do you react when something doesn't go your way? When your preferences are challenged? That happens a lot with me and my kids, right? When my preferences, when my comfort is challenged, how am I responding? Am I quick to lash out in anger? Am I quick to control them? When your influence is limited, when you are asked to submit rather than lead, how do you respond? And these are all questions that apply throughout all of life, in the workplace, in school, at home, and even in the church. When something doesn't go the way you want, how does your heart respond? Do you become bitter? Do you become angry? Do you lash out? Do you try to control the situation? Maybe you do the opposite, and maybe you withdraw. What does your heart do in those moments? Because what your heart does in those moments, it reveals what is shaping and what is ruling your soul. See, your response and your behavior, it impacts relationships around you, it impacts the advancement of the gospel, and it tears down rather than builds up when self is on the throne. You see, John, he gave us two examples. One of Gaius, who walks in truth and serves others faithfully, and Diotrephes, whose unfaithfulness reveals he lives for himself. And John, he comes to verse 11 and he gives a call to action, a call to imitation. Who will we follow and whose life will we pattern our lives after? Look at verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. as we read that verse, as we read this passage, John, he doesn't leave us confused. He doesn't just put that out there and leave us confused on what to do, right? He doesn't leave Gaius confused. He says, keep imitating good. Keep walking in the truth and love. Do not be like Diotrephes, who is heading down a path of wickedness, living for himself, but continue to reflect God our Father. And in the same way, just as he calls Gaius to imitate good, he calls us to choose. And he says, imitate good. Look at these two examples. Look at Gaius's life. Look at Diotrephes' life. You see the differences. You see the unfaithfulness in Diotrephes' behavior. You see the faithfulness in Gaius's behavior. He says, faithfulness will flow from seeing and knowing God. The more we know God, the more we imitate him. Your behavior will reveal who is revealing your soul. But let me now call you to consider, does the truth of Christ shape you? How often are you preaching the gospel to yourself? Do you know God? Do you see God? How often are you in God's word? How often are you learning about his love for you? How often are you surrounding yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ who set a good example for you? As someone who, like Gaius, is living faithfully, who is walking in truth, who is imitating Christ. What things are you putting into your brain and your heart that may not be glorifying to God, that are making their way down to your soul, that are causing you to act in a behavior that is not faithful to God's word? Ultimately here, Gaius, he points us to Christ, right? Gaius's faithfulness, how he lived, points us to Christ. Jesus did not live for himself. He did nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility, he walked perfectly in truth, laying his life down for the sake of you and I, sinners. See, Christ, he came to earth to serve, not to be served. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, we are called to imitate God by walking in love. And we know how this love looks by looking at Christ. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's the pattern. That's the pattern of our lives. That's the source of living faithfully. That we deny ourselves and we say we live for Christ. Is your soul in love with Christ? And does your life reveal this? This is what Gaius reflects, and it's what Diotrephes rejects. The question you are leaving with today is, which will you choose? And it's my prayer, just like John's prayer at the very beginning, that we can pray together your soul is healthy, that you are healthy physically just as it goes well with your soul. That you are so shaped by the love of Christ, that you walk in his truth, that you serve others in his love, and that your life is no longer centered on yourself, but it's centered on him, Christ, who gave himself for you. Let's pray. Father God, we sit here this morning, and we sit here this morning facing a question. An extremely important question that will impact our lives for the rest of eternity. Father, that question is, have we been shaped by the gospel love of Jesus? Do our lives reflect this reality? Lord, I ask that you would stir all our hearts this morning. Stir them up with a desire and passion to see and know your love for us. to be truly impacted by the life of your son, Jesus, that our lives are transformed. Father, that our lives are transformed first in our hearts, but then, Father, we can see that they're transformed in our souls and it leads to transformed actions. That we would imitate Christ as he came to serve and not be served. But he gave up his life for the sake of his friends, for the sake of us. Father, all because he loves us. So, Father, may we be committed to faithfully walking in truth and serving others for your name's sake. And, Father, I pray that all may go well with us and that we may be in good health as it goes well with our souls. In Jesus' name I pray.